It says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding that the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're grateful for today, grateful for this day we were able to spend inside your house. Lord, we pray for those that cannot be here, Father, due to illness and Lord, being in physical rehab. Lord, just be with them. Heal their bodies. Give them relief. Lord, we know that there are so many that deal with chronic pain. Lord, I just pray you take that from them. Lord, be with us now. Give us focus. Help us to stay awake for your word tonight. For its name of Jesus we pray. Amen. I mentioned to our Sunday school class there was an estate sale on our block, and I only really knew that there was one because the street was filled with cars, and normally that doesn't happen. And I'm just, you know, looking out there trying to figure out what's going on. We went over there, and I was kind of walking around just trying to see things, and what I saw was a lot of antique glassware and beautiful coffee cups and strainers and drainers and choppers and hoppers and all the stuff, right? All the stuff of life. And what I couldn't help but notice is everything had a price tag on it. Sure, there was many things they probably threw away. The family had already probably come and claimed this or claimed that. But there was still so much stuff left. Oh, there were tools and bowls and all sorts of things in there. I found myself a Bible from the 1860s. Got it for about $8. Pretty good bargain. Pretty good deal. I sat there and I was walking home. I put that Bible inside of a box. It was raining as I was walking home. And I wondered how many times fingers had flipped through those pages. Was it a decoration? Was it this? Was it that? One of the things that we went over there, I brought Melody back with me to take her for a little walk. And we walked in, and as we were walking over to the Bible, she saw this beautiful doll sitting over in a corner. And she goes over and she picks it up. 1964 was when the doll was made. Still is beautiful. I mean, it's thinning hair and it's a little ratty, but it's still just as beautiful probably as the day the first little girl who was bought for held it. Oh, she fell in love with it. She picked it up, and we took it over to the ladies and said, hey, how much? It doesn't have a tag on it. And they said we could have it for $2. I didn't pay $2 for it, but $2. I got her down to $1 for it. We came back the next day, we got the crib, and we got a whole big box of handmade clothes that somebody had made for that little baby doll. Got that for about $4.50. Now, I'm looking at that, and again, all the stuff, right? Oh, she had glassware, and I'm sure she liked her glassware. I'm sure she spent time stitching and knitting all the things and all the stuff that she did and all the work that they put in to curate all the different stuff that she had. And in the end, I walked away with that for about $6.50. The things that we have, the things that we spend our money on, the things that we put our time into, the things that we allow to become important to us, what are they really worth? And that's a question for you to ask. Everything that you have, I want you to think of your favorite things. What is it really worth? For that little dolly that Melody has, and oh, she loves it. Oh, she loves it. Somebody probably cared for it, loved it, took care of it, made little clothes for it. And then it went out the door after somebody passed away for $6.50, the whole shooting match. I won't tell you how much they wanted for it all, but just know we got a deal. I'm pretty sure she got a deal. You know what I mean? Wasn't worth much. One of the most valuable things that you have is your integrity. We have this scripture that builds structure into our character. What we are willing to do and what we're not willing to do. what we think is right, what we think is wrong. God, through the Holy Spirit, provides strength to that structure, encouraging us, pushing us, and driving us to behave and obey the things the Bible tells us. But yet many of us are willing to sell our integrity at yard sale prices. We see that all the time. A corrupt politician doesn't cause us to raise an eyebrow anymore. When we find somebody in the local government's on the take, and we go, we don't act surprised. We go, aha, we got another one. They're all dirty, right? Why? Because integrity often comes at yard sale prices to the world. The integrity is something very important that you have. This is what my God says that I should do. Therefore, it's what I should be doing. This is what my God said don't do, and that's what I'm never going to do. And yet we compromise. Yet there are things that have been preached from this pulpit by greater men than me, have preached things in this pulpit that perhaps in your own home have not been followed. My question for you tonight is this: what are you getting out of it? And is it a worthwhile cost for your integrity? Because I'll promise you this, every sin in your life weakens you one way or the other. Every sin weakens the structure of your character. And when we're talking about integrity, that's what we're talking about. What is the strength of your obedience to Christ? What is it? Some of us, we give away our integrity too cheap. Well, it's a funny TV show, and it makes me laugh. You trade your integrity for a giggle? What a low price. What a good discount we are giving for something so important as our integrity. Well, it helps me relax at the end of the day. You know, there's many things that help you relax at the end of the day. You chose the one that compromised your integrity. What a wonderful thing. What a great discount. What a bargain. We just give these things away. Well, I know I probably shouldn't hang around this person. I know I probably shouldn't celebrate that. I know I probably shouldn't do this. But I tell you what, it sure is fun. It sure is a hoot. We trade away our integrity too cheaply. Every sin, you compromise your integrity. What is the cost of it? Financially, or maybe not even monetarily, but what do you really gain from those sins? I asked a group of boys at camp, I said, hey, listen, how many of you on the ride down to camp today, you spent some time on social media? And they all raised their hands, and I said, all right, who is on Facebook and raise your hand on Instagram? What were you guys on? They tell me different apps that they were on. All right, good, now tell me five things you saw on there. You saw a bunch of confused faces looking over. They thought real hard, and some of them were pretty clever, and they go, huh. You just saw them sitting there going, it clicked. I asked, how many spent 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours? How many of you the whole ride down here was sitting there gawking at your phone? You can't tell me five things you saw on there. What a discount! 5 hours of your time. Who knows what you put before your eyes? Who knows what you become desensitized to for 5 hours, 3 hours, 2 hours, and you've got no recollection of it? What did you get out of it? Nothing. You went out to the bar. You overfed yourself. You cussed. You swore. You blew your temper. You cut somebody off in the middle of the road. You said some awful things here. You gossiped. You lied. You did whatever. What did you get out of it? And so often we look back and we say, I don't know. I don't know what we got out of it. I put some cash in my little girl's hand. She went over. She got herself a baby doll from 1964. She got herself a whole bunch of clothes. She got herself a handmade wooden cradle for the doll. That's what she got for $650. What do you get for 6 hours, 6.5 hours of your time? What do you get when you participate in those sins that pastor after pastor, preacher after preacher, verse after verse has told you to stay away from? What have you gotten out of it? We sell our integrity too cheaply. See, according to this verse, we know. We know what's expected of us. We know what a life of integrity means for a Christian. Let's read this one more time. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. You're saved. Wake up. Christ is going to reveal some things to you. He's going to teach you how to live. He's going to give you morals. He's going to tell you what's right and wrong. He will shed that light on it. Verse 15, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. When you got sin in your life, you can't walk circumspectly. You ever walk with somebody, they're a little bit over here, then they're a little bit over here, and they're a little bit, I hate that. Have y'all ever been to IKEA? If you haven't been to IKEA, God's been good to you. It is a difficult place to walk through. Yeah, you got it all set up. Some of it's different square footages of houses or apartments or things like that. Then there's kitchens and bedrooms and things like that. And you're walking through, and down in Canton's a good place where you've got a lot of different nationalities. So people come from everywhere in the globe just to stand right in front of you and stop. I'll be walking through, there'll just be a big old line of people sucking on Slurpees, staring at their phones, looking over you. You're trying to get, excuse me, can't get by them. Oh, it drives me nuts to be in there. I tell you what, husbands, if your wives ever drag you to IKEA, you go sit yourself in the cafe, have some meatballs, wait for her to come tell you what you're getting that day. All right, that pro tip for you. People don't walk right anymore. They're over here. Somebody left their cell phone up here. So it's a prop now. They're up here. They're over here. They're staring at this. They're coming over there. What a mess they are. What a mess they are. Just walking through. Some of us, we know what Christ would have us to do. We know where Christ would have us to go. But yet we're all over the place. Little bit of sin, little bit of Christianity, little bit of sin, back to my sanctification. We're all over the place. We ought to walk circumspectly. We got to walk right. We got to stop playing around with this world. Going a little bit here, a little bit there. Get to where you're going. My family knows this is a pet peeve of mine. If you go through a door, how do you go through a door? Let me tell you how I go through a door. I see the door. I speed up. I open the door. If there's anybody behind me, I let them in. If not, I walk through that door. I get out of the entryway. What do most people do in this world? They slow down to make sure the door is really there. Well, and then they'll stop right there in the threshold. Like they're waiting to get taken out by a sniper first, you know? Like they want to make sure the building's not on fire first, and they'll sit there and camp for a little bit by that door. You know, big old sign, please seat yourself, or it's a self-explanatory thing, like it's a place called Walmart. Everybody knows where you're supposed to be going, and they're... Go! How many Christians are stuck in one spot? The action that they're supposed to be doing, very easy. The direction's plain as day. But yet we don't walk circumspectly. We walk all over the place, bouncing between our carnality and what the Holy Spirit tells us to do. To walk circumspectly means we must be walking with wisdom, and that's what this verse says. Be wise, not as the fool. Be wise. If you know certain things, those things should be a part of your actions. Drives you nuts, doesn't it? Why'd you do that if you knew you'd get in trouble? I don't know. Well, you know that's not what the Bible says to do, right? You know the Bible says that's wrong. I know. What good does it do you to know and not obey? What good does it do you? It's like those cooking shows. They're making some kind of chicken dish, and they get everything right, but they forget the chicken. Didn't you know there's supposed to be chicken in there? I know. Well, you still lost. And folks, that's where we are. We know wisdom ought to be a part of our lives. We know we ought to be taking the things that God has taught us and obeying them. If it's doubtful, it's dirty, right? We understand that. Flee the appearance of evil. If something don't look right, don't do it, right? Flee the appearance of evil. If it don't look right, don't do it. I mean, how many people mix a little bit of it in here or there? Well, that looks satanic. That looks awful. Well, that kind of looks like that's what we were doing. Yeah, that's always the excuse, isn't it? It's not what it looks like. Why does it look that way? Why does it got all the elements of that thing you say it's not? Because we didn't walk circumspectly. We weren't being wise. We didn't look at what was there. Or we were okay with too many of the wrong things. And we allowed wrong things in. And they took over the situation. And all of a sudden you had yourself a good mess. This is not as fools, but as wise. We see a lot of foolish behavior. Let me tell you this, just because you see fools who are acting more foolish than you, doesn't mean you're doing okay. You ought to have wisdom. You ought to have wisdom. You can't sit there and say, well, at least I'm not doing this, at least I'm not doing that. If God has shown you things, and you know things, it is nothing but a shame and foolishness when you refuse to obey them. When you refuse to put them into your life. Verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Are we serving Him? Circumspect walking means we're going someplace, man. We're doing something. How many Christians are on autopilot? They're not doing anything Christian. They're not doing anything that would show them to be Christ-like. They're not serving Him in the way that they're supposed to. And we sit there and we look around at these evil days. We do absolutely nothing about it. And we walk through the place and, oh my, isn't this terrible? And isn't that terrible? And isn't this awful? Well, what are we doing to partake in the change? Other than sitting there remarking on how terrible things are. Oh, I hate this in politics. I hate the way they're doing this over in the city or in the township. I can't believe it. Are you giving the gospel? Are you helping people? Are you pointing them to Christ? We're not walking circumspectly if we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. If we're not taking the proper actions. Verse 17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Some of us, and I'm talking good common Baptists, I mean good Baptists, they don't understand the will of God. Why? They're too busy listening to other people. Too busy listening to other people. They get the depths of their philosophy from Christian radio. Listen to me. Those people on those contemporary Christian radio shows, they don't know what they're talking about. And that's not a cheap shot at somebody with an audience. You listen to them. They don't know what they're talking about. You listen to some of these preachers out there that have made it popular and they've made it successful. If they're not right with all of Scripture, they don't know what they're talking about. Anybody can carve a small slice of Scripture out of its context and make it say whatever it wants, whatever they want. You can sit there and do that. A little bit of here, a little bit there. You can be creative in editing Scripture together. Oh, see, look at this wonderful doctrine that we've created. If that's not what the Bible says, you ought not be telling people that that's what it says. And many of these people, they lack the study of the Scripture. That is one of the bigger issues we have had when it comes down to theology, is people have stopped studying Scripture with Scripture. They only ever study it with the mouthpiece of other men in their ears, listening to what they have to say, or even worse, listening to what some of these female preachers have to say. If you don't understand what a woman shouldn't be preaching means, if that bothers you, if that tricks you somehow, right? You ought not to be preaching at all. My goodness, we have forgotten how to study the Bible properly. And I say we editorially, I'm not making an accusation against you. But why do you think there's so many Baptists that count themselves among the Reformers? there are going to be Baptists October 31st, they call it Reformation Day, right? Because obviously, can't be Halloween, it's got to be Reformation Day. I'm not a reformer, are you a reformer? Jesus Christ started the Baptist Church, and you've seen us all every step of the way. Roman history talks about us. Catholic history talks about us. In different names, but same doctrine, same beliefs, one after the other, all the way through. We've always been here in one way or the other. I'm not a reformer. We've held on to the doctrines. You know where these guys get this nonsense? You know where they pick this nonsense up at? Because they've been reading Presbyterian writings instead of studying Scripture for what it says. So when they find good doctrine among the Presbyterians, oh, I see, and the Presbyterians brought it out during the Reformation. All right, well, that's what it is. They kicked the ball back into play, and we, by superior theology, became Baptists, and that's what we are. It's nonsense. The Scripture has never, never been vague on doctrine. Never. And there have always been people around that believed it for what it said. We're not them. We must understand the will of the Lord. But if we don't study, we'll never understand it. I've met many people, they sit there, they're struggling with things in their lives. They've got problems, behavioral or whatever, things that they can't get right. And so often the common key is the same. It's common. They're not studying the Word. That is the biggest problem for most Christians, is we do not study. And if you don't study, you'll have no understanding of the will of God. Of course, confusion happens. Of course, frustration happens. Of course, we sit there and wonder at what's going on around us. We get frustrated at things because we lack the understanding. If we just understood, if we could just listen for a second to what God has to say, we would understand His will. And a lot of our problems with our integrity would clear right up. But instead, I believe many have become willfully ignorant to what the Bible says so that they can sell their integrity for the price that seems right for them. For entertainment, for giggles, to fit in, for whatever purpose. We must understand the Lord's will. Verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. How's your sensitivity to the Holy Spirit? How is it? When you're about to sin, does a Bible verse or some guilt course through you? When you're reading, are you able to, for some reason, make connections from this area to that? If the answer is no, you have a problem with sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Because you've quenched it. There's sin. There's things you've participated in that you've quenched. Now, how about this one? The other reason why we have a hard time hearing or being sensitive to the Holy Spirit is because we've practiced not listening to it. I had a brother who was what we would call selectively deaf. If he didn't want to hear you, he couldn't hear you. Huh? Hey, listen, mom's gotten to like first, middle, and last name for you, and she's shouting, you should probably go. Huh? You know what I mean? If we don't practice listening to the Word of God, man, we're quenching that Spirit. Not that the Holy Spirit can't speak to you, but that you have practiced not listening to it. It's like a check engine light on your dash. You drive a few hundred miles, you forget the thing is there. Right? The Holy Spirit's given the warning, but your ears are stopped up. You no longer have the integrity that is required to obey. Because you've given those things away. Why? For cheap thrills. For moments of pleasure. Traded them away. We ought to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. All right, well, brother, how do I fix that? Number one, very simple. We got to check in with that spiritual fitness. Are you reading? Are you praying? Are you serving? If you're not doing those things, step one. Step two, you got to practice that obedience. Practice listening. I promise you, you get things right between you and the Lord, all of a sudden things will start to go back to the way they could be, to the way they were. That stride elongates. You're able to run this Christian race a whole lot better once you get the muscle back on you, once you get things going again. We see also in this passage the admonition that we should worship. Speaking to yourselves, this is verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Listen, if you are having issues with the Christian life, I implore you, don't forget to worship. Don't forget to worship. I would say alongside with studying and prayer, that is another one we fail at. Do you tell God how grateful you are? Do you sing? Oh, brother, I can't sing. Listen, God gave you the voice He gave you. You go back to Him with it. Don't matter to Him. Oh, brother, I don't know what to say. It's always awkward for me. It's always difficult. Listen, God loves you, and it doesn't matter what you bring Him. Like a mom receiving a handful of dandelions, He won't care. Like a father receiving the same tie he got last year, He won't care. Why? Because He loves you and He knows what you're capable of. And He understands that you're not poetic. And He understands that it's awkward for you. But He just wants to hear you sing. He wants to hear your gratitude. He wants to hear you tell Him how much you appreciate these things. And if you can't sing, at least listen to that kind of music that promotes that praising of God. I mentioned some of these contemporary Christian radio stations. Man, you listen to some of the songs, I can't tell the difference between some of them and a good old-fashioned pop love song. There's no mention of the word Jesus in there at all. We don't talk about God. We're referring to a you. That you could be God, that you could be a girl riding in the next seat with Him. I don't know. Let us hear music that praises God. I'm not saying if it's new, it ain't no good. I think we all know, we've heard those songs, we just go, I'm not sure that's about God. You know? What is that? You hear that song, You Raise Me Up? People sing that You Raise Me Up. Did you know that wasn't originally a Christian song? They adapted that. Why? Because they tossed that right down the middle of it, could go either way, and both Christians and secularists fought over it. I want something that talks about the goodness of God. I want to hear about the blood of Christ. I want to talk about His sacrifice and His love for us. His greatness, His mercy, His goodness, His kindness. That's what I want to hear. I was listening this morning to the Cathedrals. You ever wake up with a song stuck in your head? I woke up, there was the Cathedrals. It was the Prodigal Son. And it was Glenn Payne. Whew. I got so tired eating after the swine. The hook to the song. So I believe I'll go home and eat with the Father. The table is spread and He's waiting for me. Now you sing me something like that. I like that. Holy is Thy name. Hey, I'm all for that, man. If you're having a hard time getting into a worshipful spirit, you need some worshipful entertainment. You need to surround yourself by it. And trust me, my friend, you will get involved. You surround yourselves. Listen to that verse again. Speaking to yourselves in psalms. Speaking to yourselves in psalms. And I've lost my spot. No, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. We just found the verse that made it okay for us to sing specials in church. Sing hymns and read psalms. We'll do that at camp. We'll start every morning. Hey, we're going to have a little bit of reading. A little bit of reading. Last year I did it in Proverbs. I can't remember what I did for this year. You start with a verse. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what You've made today. Thank You so much. We share those things. We encourage each other. We build each other up in those things. So again, now that's, I'm taking too long to go through this verse here, but that's integrity. That's the Christian walk. That final verse there, that we should submit ourselves one to another. Romans 12:10 is the sister verse to that. It says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Right? So that's my job. My job in the Christian walk is to walk circumspectly, worship God, and take care of each other. That's what we ought to be doing. That is when it, that's what it looks like when it's right. But then we trade it. We trade little pieces of it. Understanding the will of the Lord, obedience, wisdom, worship, taking care of each other. We trade those pieces for other things, smaller things. Right? Instead of taking care of each other, what do? Sometimes people will backbite and gossip about each other. Why? Little bit of fun chemical hit in the brain. Ooh, you know what I heard? My favorite response to that. Someone will come to me, hey, you know what I heard? And they'll blah, 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 whatever. I go, hey, come here. You know what I heard? What? Enough out of you. Don't get involved in that nonsense. You got a problem with someone, you go knock on their door. You pick up their phone. Hey, this is the communication era. Communicate with them. Get it right. Oh, but we compromise. We trade on our integrity. We no longer see ourselves as the gossip. Oh, no. We're just talking. We don't even see it as compromise. We see it as some liberty that we might have. What a joke. You weren't given liberties to transgress the laws of God. You weren't given liberties to cut your own path to problem solving. You weren't given liberties as to what the purpose of your life was. You don't get that right. God gave it to you, and it's better than the stuff we've made up to replace it. We need to do things right. We need to do things God's way. And stop trading our integrity. Let's look at Samson for a second. I won't turn there because of the hour, but think of Samson for a second. What did he sell his integrity for? Physical pleasure. He traded his integrity for lust, for lack of a better phrase. And it wasn't the first time he did it. He was always compromising for the ladies. Even to the point, I mean, we look at some foolishness in relationships today, so we really can't blame Samson, but she's guessing, asking, begging for what it is that would take his strength. Three times! The first two, she went and did the thing that he told her would weaken him. He tested her, she failed, he tested her again, she failed. And then finally, he just gave up and gave her the solution. Brother Tim Works, I reached out to him this week. I got an email from his email account saying, hey, it's a blessings, brother. Do you shop on the Amazon? And I go, no, there's something about that language. Just don't seem like Brother Works. So I reached out to Brother Works. I go, hey, Brother Works. Did you mean to send me an email about shopping on Amazon? He goes, no, sir. I got one of those myself from my own email account. I go, that is bold. How foolish would I be to go back to that email and respond to it? Knowing that it was fake? Knowing that it was some scammer? How foolish would I be to go back and say, absolutely, here's my email address and my password to the thing. Go for it, whatever you need. You'd look at me and you'd say, well, brother, there might be something wrong with you. Let's get you to the hospital, right? You'd be questioning whether or not I'm fit to walk around on my own. But how many of us, like Samson, we know something can't be trusted. We know a behavior's bad. We know what it is. We've seen it fail others. We've seen it hurt others. But yet, for some reason, we still got to put our nose in that trash can just to make sure it stinks. We still have to put our foot in the trap just to make sure it's sharp. Well, it really can't hurt that bad. Hold on, let me see. Oh, yeah. Anybody here want to have pity on me? Oh no, my life is... Come on. Samson tested her twice. She told him who she was twice. I'm on their side. Then he gives it to her the third time. Who would sit there, find someone trying to pick the lock to their house, would give them the key? And that's what Samson does. And when you put evil before your eyes and in your ears, when you participate in things that God tells you not to, when you wear this stuff, do this stuff, whatever, you give a little bit of your integrity away. As long as I get some physical pleasure out of it, I'm willing to compromise. It is a terrible thing. We surrender our minds. We surrender our hearts. Some people even surrender their bodies. We've all sat here and we could probably sit there and go, yeah, I've given my mind to this. I've given my body to that. We can all be there and sit there and say, this is what I've surrendered. This is what I've sold those things for. And I would hope that we would look at what we're getting out of it and become disgusted and be willing to take those things back. Willing to go back to a life of integrity. What about Peter? Peter stood by the fire, denying his God. How many times? Just like Samson, 3 times. I don't know. No, I don't know. Nope, not me. And this is after, oh no, Lord, I would never deny you. Never. I love you, Lord. I would never deny you. And then, oh no, Peter, guess what? You're going to deny me 3 times. Oh no. I don't know. I don't know what you guys are thinking. I don't know. He goes over to another area. Are you sure you're not that guy? I tell you, I'm not him. I'm not that guy. Just be quiet. I'm not him. That third time, he starts to cuss. I'm not going to demonstrate that one. He curses. I don't know him. Why would he do that? Well, I would imagine Peter didn't want a cross of his own that night. I imagine because Peter didn't want whippings of his own. He just wanted at one particular point in the night to go stand by the fire. He just wanted a little bit of warmth. He wanted to fit in a little bit. Just as long as nobody recognized me, I can be like everybody else in this society and I can just get what I want. And as long as I don't reveal myself for who I am and what I believe, they will leave me alone. Peter compromised. Peter sold his integrity for a little bit of peace. So he could sit with a group of people. So he could sit with a group of people and not be recognized. How many Christians stop acting like Christians when they get around others? Oh, you ought not drink, you ought not swear, you ought not smoke, you ought not... Amen, Pastor, amen. But you get out there with the boys on a vacation or whatever, and you're drinking, you're smoking, you're cussing, you're telling dirty jokes. We ought to live who we are. Listen, you're not going to get peace out of this world. They are a chaotic bunch. They'll make each other popular just to cancel each other. You ever see that? Oh, here's this person. They do terrible, debauched things, but they're terrible, debauched things that we're okay with. So we're going to give them millions of dollars to go on creating debauched material. Hey, that one, what's that? They said something mildly racist? Get them down! They don't even like each other. You can't fit into them. We can't fit in with them. Why? Because they don't fit in with themselves. They don't like each other. They don't even like themselves, some of them. You ain't going to fit in with them. At least not very long. They'll forget the fact that you might be a Christian. And all of a sudden, you'll not laugh at a joke they told. Forget their birthday. Misgender them. And they'll throw you out. They'll throw you to the dogs. This God that they worship of common societal acceptance. They're always sacrificing people to that idol. They're always setting them on fire in the media. For this reason or that, you really think you're going to fit in? You really think that they're going to sit there and welcome you at the table? They won't. They don't even have a set standard for themselves. You look at some of these politicians that are putting down other politicians. Oh, you're heartless for not believing in this lifestyle. You're heartless for not being an ally to these people. When we've got sound bites of them not 25 years ago condemning that very behavior. You're not going to fit into this world. You give us another 30, 40 years, it'll be the conservatives who are standing where the Democrats are now, and the Democrats are going to be even further in the field. Why? Because that is the way we've been going. And we might be even be going faster now. So it might not even be 25 years before you see some Republicans out there showing up with their lipstick on. You know what I mean? Oh, I just don't want to be a problem. I want to fit in. I don't. Well, agree to disagree. Agree to disagree. You can't agree enough. You can't agree enough. Even if you agree with something today, tomorrow they'll flip the coin. You might as well stand on the rock where you belong. Hold on to your integrity, because that acceptance is cheap and it doesn't last very long. That acceptance will not take you as far as you think it will. There was a guy on the news. Oh, he was so excited. He bought himself a truck from China for $2,000. You ever see one of those clown cars in the circus? It looked like that. I'm looking at this guy, and I'm looking at the door to get into the thing. Now, it was a gas vehicle, I think. I'm not sure. It was something that you're supposed to be able to take out on the road and maybe not grocery shop with, but maybe convenience store shop at. I don't know. I'm looking at this man. I'm looking at that seat going, uh-uh. Most of us in this room would not be getting inside of this vehicle and then happily getting back out. We would need help. Oh, but look at 2,000. Oh, yeah. Get all excited. Man, they get excited about some weird stuff. You going to sit at that table? At the table we're going to sit at. Fuel emissions and this and that. We'll sit there and talk about how terrible it is. Child labor, how terrible it is. You know how many children we have working as slaves, mining zinc and copper, those things. I can't remember what the exact element was, but the things that go in the batteries. And they're the same ones that go into our cell phones. You got children working for 12, 13 hours for pennies, if anything at all, to dig out these metals to put into the cars. Now, that is one of the most atrocious things I have ever heard of in my life. And that should be something that our very sensitive and loving Democrats and liberals should bleed at the heart over, am I right? Then why aren't we? It's well known. There's pictures of it all over the internet. It's not even propaganda by the gas companies. It's happening. And it's been happening for a long time. Apple got in trouble for it. Other battery makers got in trouble for it. And instead of us sitting there saying, hey, we're not going to cooperate in this, what do? We start legislating the necessity of it. How about this? Well, we want to fit in with the common era of the time. Hey, we've got people in the government who are for Palestine, people in the government who are for Israel. We're sending millions of dollars to both sides. What do you call someone who funds and gives weapons to both sides of a war? That's a war criminal. Go ahead, fit in with the society. Go ahead. Is that really what we want? What value? What are we really getting out of it? We're getting a pat on the back for somebody who's confused in their morals, who doesn't understand right from wrong, who only understands what can I get, how can I get it, and not thinking who they have to hurt in order to get it. All we ever get paid for when we trade or sell our integrity, all we ever really get is trouble. We adopt anxiety, frustration, depression. We adopt uncertainty and doubt. We begin to fight with each other. We commit more and more to sinful lifestyles, which create more and more troubles. We have conflict with each other, conflict with our own selves. And then all of a sudden, because of our sin, we begin reaping this what we sowed. A lack of integrity, what does it make you? It makes you weak. If we were to build a great building and I were to go in and begin removing walls, sooner or later it collapses, doesn't it? We ought to have walls up to protect us from sin. We ought to have walls up to protect us from certain behavior. Hey, listen, that looks evil. Hey, that ain't quite something that I ought to participate in. That's not something that the Bible says I should do. I'm putting a wall up. I'm not having anything to do with it. But what happens to any building when you begin to rip the walls out? It falls apart. And we've got a lot of Christians who have fallen apart and they can't figure out why. Because we've traded our integrity for stuff. We've traded our integrity for entertainment. We've traded our integrity for lust or things that bring pleasure to the body. We've traded our integrity to fit in with other people. It is a mess. There is nothing this world has to give you for your integrity that is worth your integrity. Do you have something in your house that to you might be, that to the rest of the world might be worth very little, but to you, there's no value, there's no price tag anyone could put on it? It's invaluable. Many of us, we have things like that, where if we were to go to the Antiques Roadshow and they were to show it, they're like, okay, probably about $19.50. But to you, it has great intense value because it belonged to so-and-so, or you got it here when you were there on that vacation, so it means the world to you. Your integrity ought to matter so much to you that it's not for sale. And let me give you some reasons as to why I believe that. Number one, your integrity, if you're saved, doesn't belong to you. You can't sell it. It's not yours. Go ahead, take your Bibles. Go to 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. And it says, verse 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? Can you commit sin with something that belongs to the Holy Ghost? That body is the Lord's temple. Can I commit sin with it? Can I pollute it? Can I trash it? Can I put it in danger? Which ye have of God. That body, by the way, that Holy Spirit too, all given by God. And ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Listen, outside of my body and my spirit, I'm going to have a hard time sinning, aren't I? Because I need a spirit that ain't quite right inside of me. I need to have a body in order to commit those sins. Without those two, I can't sin. Can I sin without using those two? Nope. And they belong to who? The Lord. We're to be a living sacrifice, the Bible says. We live. We breathe. We pick out our favorite cereal. We put on our favorite pair of shoes. We can pick a vacation. We can pick where we'll live. We can pick the color of our walls. We can pick our jobs. You can pick whatever you like. But there's some things God says don't do. And as long as He has purchased this body, I don't have no right to do them. My name belongs to Him. My reputation belongs to Him. I don't have the right to sell it. I don't have the right to compromise for this or for that. I don't have right to mix in certain sins because of my perceived liberty. Another thing you have to understand about that integrity is that it protects you. Integrity protects you. Psalm 25, verse 21. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on Thee. If there are things you won't do, you're not going to get in trouble for doing them. Because you didn't do them. Because you won't do them. Because there's things in place to prevent you from doing them. Right? Your integrity protects you. Because that is a decision you've made, you've given to the Lord. I'm giving this behavior to the Lord. And once it is His, I'm going to make sure it stays His. And I'm not going to take it back. I'm not going to mix things in. Lord, I am yours. And it will protect you from deepening sin. It will protect you from the random failure. Having a good integrity will help you to stand when the troubles come. It'll help you to be faithful when the hard times come. You need integrity. And one of the most valuable things that we get from our integrity is a connection with God. Job chapter 31, verse 3, he says, "Is not destruction to the wicked, and a stranger punishment to the workers of iniquity, and a strange punishment to the workers of iniquity? Doth not he see my ways and count all my steps? If I have walked with vanity, or if my foot hath hasted to deceit, let me be weighed in an even balance, that God may know mine integrity. If my step hath turned out of the way, and mine heart walked after mine eyes, and if any blot hath cleaved to mine hands, then let me sow and let another eat. Yea, let my offspring be rooted out." When Job is talking here, he is making some clear communication. Hey, doesn't the wicked deserve punishment? Don't the wicked deserve punishment? And if that's what I've done, let my integrity be weighed in an even balance, and God can see what I am. If my integrity is there, if your integrity is where it should be, God can see it. There will be nothing between you and God. There'll be no distractions that can pull you off of the path. Nothing to tear you away from your circumspect walk. Nothing to tempt you away from wisdom. Why? Because the walls stand firm. And my God looks down and he sees where I am. We crave a closeness with God. But if there is sin in your life, you won't have it. You won't have it. Consider Adam and Eve. What was the first thing they chose to do? They hid. And the sin nature hasn't learned another trick. We hide from God. We don't repent. We stop praying as much. Our prayers change, our reading changes. Everything changes when there is clear and present sin in our lives. Don't forget, God won't be near it. And we don't want to be near God while we do it. When we go and we visit my grandma for Thanksgiving, we knew that there were rules in grandma's house. So if you wanted to break the rules, you had to go to the basement. Some of us spend so much time in the basement, we forget to check in with God. When that's all clear, when your behavior is what it should be, you've repented of every sin, and you've put the barriers back up, and you've returned to a circumspect walk, then things get better. Then you feel a closeness with God. You can't just pray that God give you a closeness and expect him to leap over everything you should be doing just to make you feel close so he could acquiesce to your sin. You gotta repent of it. And repentance isn't just saying sorry. What is it? It is a return or a rebuilding of the integrity. I'm not doing those things. I'm putting a wall up. I'm putting a separation between me and those things. I'm turning from it. We lack peace when we lack integrity. We lack clarity and confidence and focus when we lack integrity. I'll finish with this. Danielle's mom and dad, they got that cabin up by that lake. And they just sealed it off for the winter. Now, before they got there and they started rebuilding stuff, before they bought the property, actually, is when it was, you'd have raccoons and squirrels and chipmunks and rats all just come sneaking into there. Well, they've done the job, man. My father-in-law's put the work in. He's put some serious money into the budget. Things, when they seal things up, it is sealed up. It is inch by inch and project by project, the integrity of that building is coming back. And one day they plan on the next 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, depending on which one of them you talk to, they plan on retiring there. You can rest when you have integrity. You can plan when you have integrity. You lack integrity, you're in trouble. Let us get it right. Heavenly Father, oh Lord, we need you. The messes we create, the confusion that we have, we look at this world, we think we can be like them and everything will be okay. Oh, it's not true. Help us, Father, to want to be more like Christ. Help us, Lord, to want to be more like you. Show us your ways. Help us, Lord, not to leave them. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.